That was a beautiful rendition. Catherine von Schlegel is the author of that particular hymn. And she belonged to a group of people who were persecuted severely for their faith. And in response, instead of getting upset, going to protest, she and her group of believers chose this approach. And their approach was simply to be still and to trust the Lord in all circumstances. I think that's really, really outstanding. And as we talk about this whole idea of our life being transformed along the way, how do we see this? How do we understand this? Well, this morning, once again, we are challenged very greatly. One member in our church wrote me and asked me, how do we understand this verse? Trying to memorize it. So I replied, and this is what I said. Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:11. If you need help, it's in the bulletin. If not, it's in your little card on page 10 in the church bulletin, or turn to your Bible. Okay? And this is a really challenging text. So we who live, let's try this. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And so she asked, what does it mean? I thought it was very interesting to say, well, have you thought of what it means? We who live are delivered to death for Jesus' sake. Literally, what it means is we are putting our life at risk every time we serve the Lord. It could be risk of just about anything. And we put our life at risk all the time. But we'll do it for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do this, then you see, people will be able to see the life of Jesus manifested. Because that's how Jesus would have done it. Given any ministry chances, opportunities at all, Jesus would have not been afraid to put his life at risk for the sake of ministry. And so she wrote back, and I thought it was really wonderful to be able to see this desire to learn what it means. Well, I'm just so glad. And she was very greatly blessed at camp, and with a little little baby daughter. Sometimes you don't get a very much of a chance to attend camps without always having to look after the daughter. So at camp was a very refreshing time to rehear the Lord's word and to be challenged. Well, this is how our hearts must be constantly challenged, to read the Lord's word and to memorize it. Let's try this again. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. This morning, before I take up the Lord's word with you, I thought I'd like to ask you to pray with me, especially for Shan Shui. Li Ping, the wife, wrote me this morning to say that the platelets are climbing up slowly, and they have managed to contain the fever. He's still weak. William Huang this morning also wrote me to say that he's presiding at a hematology conference this morning, unable to be with us. He's the president of a Singapore chapter for hematology, so he's got to be there. And he wrote me to say that Shang Shui is still very, very seriously ill, but there are signs that he seems to be improving, and we want to remember him in prayer especially. And I told Li Ping that we will bring this up in prayer, and we will together pray for him as a church. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we can bring all our concerns to you in prayer. And this morning we pray for Shang Shui as he battles this problem of cancer in hospital. And we know the complications have come, and we ask you to grant your special grace over to his heart, and to Li Ping and little Andrew as well. We pray that you will help us to always remember people who are in need of special prayer support. We think of Maureen also in Melbourne and ask that you would comfort her heart. And we thank you for the successful surgery on the 20th of March. We'd ask you to continue to grant that grace to recover from surgery. We pray for your grace, your mercy to be extended. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now people ask me many, many questions. How do I feel now that I am decades older? And not afraid, not ashamed to be at this age, or rather to be at this age than to be dead. But what does it mean? How does it feel? How do you see it from beginning to end? And I thought it was a very challenging question. This is the answer in this morning's message. See, as we grow older, I mean, we can grow older and grow crankier. I don't know how to pronounce the word properly. Crankier, yes. Right? I mean, we grow old, we can become cranky, we can become grumpy, we can be a lot of things. Sometimes when you're not conscious of it, you become what you are, which is not what I wanted to be. So from a very young age, I determine what I do not want to be. I had a list of people I do not ever want to be. I hope you're not in that list. Well, you have to be much older than me first. So not many of you are much older than me, so you're probably not in that list. Just to make sure that this is not an attempt to hit at anybody, none of you are in that list. I can hear the relief. But you know what I mean? You know, you look at older people, you look at how they become older. And one of the bigger problems, of course, you grow older. Now, there are physical problems, right? Physical problems such as you cannot see properly, you cannot hear properly. I'm not worried about that. Those things are just, you know, it's going to go the way of the earth. Those things cannot really be helped. Now, newspapers tells us that one in six young people are going to become deaf because of all the loud music that they hear. Those are physical problems. I am not really worried about that. I think that there are certain things that we can help ourselves in. We really can. That is where my main concern really is. What will we become as we grow older? So I like this doctrine, which is the doctrine, I call it the theology of transformation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is a really beautiful text, and it talks about this whole idea of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me just read this text with you. Okay, just one verse, 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this one text is so rich in every sense of the word. What does it mean when we look at this text very carefully? And how does it work, actually? Okay? So when you look at it, I don't know, this morning I'm sure you looked at the mirror. What did you see? Of course, you see some hair turning white. of course, it's already beyond redemption, already white, cannot be helped. You look for something black, it's not going to happen either. But you look at it with unveiled face. What do you see? Do you only see white hair? What do you look for? Crow's feet. What do you do to the crows? That they imprinted themselves upon you. You know, we all look at what crow's feet. You don't know what those are. Okay, young ladies, it refers to wrinkles around here. We take for granted everybody knows what crow's feet. Crow's feet? No? Well, young people have elasticity. They don't care about any of that. When you grow older, then you really worry. I got crow's feet, duck's feet, chicken feet, you know. I mean, it's really bad. And you look at it very carefully. And most of us are worried about things like that. I don't. Nowadays, when I look in the mirror, I do exercises on my face. So if it doesn't move properly, I will be shooting down straight to my neuro doctor to say, listen, I may have got another problem with... So I look at it. So I'm okay. So I try whistle. If I cannot whistle, I'm in trouble. So if I try and drink water and it dribbles, I'm in trouble. Now those are the physical things. Okay? So if you had Bell's palsy before, you become an expert in that. You look for everything, and so you exercise everywhere, make sure that things, not that it will help in any way, if it hits you, it hits you. And you try to survive it the best way possible. But what about the other aspects of life? When you look at a face, do you see a grumpier face? You see a meaner face? You see an angry face? What do you see? I'm growing older. Is that what you see? Now, if we were to take a look at what this text really says, we behold as in a mirror and we see, what do you see? The glory of the Lord. Have you been able to take a look at a mirror and say, wow, that's the glory of the Lord. Not your glory, okay? It doesn't mean I'm well kept. No. It really means that there is a work of God in your life, seen in your face. I think that's important. Now, a story is told of a painter. This is a legend. And he was painting the Last Supper. So he needed faces. So he painted one of the most important faces he wanted to paint was the Lord Jesus. So he found it very hard to find one. So he went to look at the person who is just as uncorrupted by sin as possible. So he picked a young man and he drew the face based upon the face of that young man. So this picture took a few years to do, not just a few minutes or a few weeks or months. But he then came across, how do I portray the face of Judas Iscariot? So he asked permission to go to the prison, to go and see whether he can find a prisoner who will model for him. And they said, well, yeah, sure, you want to see the worst criminals? Death row. So he went down there, he picked one young man, and then he says, well, can you be my subject? So you're going to die anyway. The man said, sure. Then as he began to pray, the young man began to be a little bit edgy and asked him, do you know me? The painter said, no. I've never been to prison before. But you know me. I'm sorry, I don't know you. He was getting a bit edgy. You know, when you are in the death row, you want to be careful how you talk to the prisoners. So the man then wept. And he was surprised. He said, a few years ago, I was the one who sat for you when you wanted a Jesus. Look at me now. You know, I have lived a life of crime. I've lived a life of sin. Look at my face. Look at how it has changed. I've become wicked. I've become strong. I've become dark. I've become... His face actually showed what his life was like. Did you know that? This is what Chinese physiognomy is all about. From the face, you can tell the person's character. From the face, you can see what the person is like, whether there is nobility or whether there isn't. So whenever they see the emperor's face, they straight away, they know this: you are in the presence of someone noble. That's what we're seeing here. When you look at that picture, when you look at that face in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see the work of glory upon your face? Do you? Well, this is what this text is all about. What does it mean? Let me go on further. The next part of it. Look at verse 18. We are being transformed. Now, that's the word. Being transformed into the same image. Now, I know a lot of people, when they've got their fans off, and they try as much as possible to be a Michael Jackson. So they wear one glove each. So you see our people here cleaning up, they wear one glove. All Michael Jackson's fans. Well, then young people, Elvis Presley. I must admit, I was one of those who tried and failed. My hair just wouldn't be Elvis Presley's type. But I don't know why I liked him, but I just did. And so I have been his fan until he began to eat too much ice cream. And then I was off that list for a while. But I tried very hard when I was young just to make the hair just come out just nicely. Just physically, you know, just try very, very hard. I like to sing like him. I would like to see all the films that he... And they were not even good, great films. But as long as he was there, it was good. You know, that was it. I still remember when he acted in the film called Broken Arrow. And how he was in a cowboy and Red Indian show. And he was there. And it was just wonderful to watch him just because, you know, he's your hero and you're a fan. Well, I changed completely. I was now looking at Jesus. Now, he was my hero. And I wanted to be his fan. How does that work? You know, I really, with all my heart, wanted to have to be more and more like the image all the time. From glory to glory means this is what I was like. Every little change I note is glory. Every little bit of change. Now, there could be, 50 changes, 100 changes, and more. But every change would be glory. Did you know that this is actually written in the book of Romans? Now let me show you how it works, step by step. It begins with God declares us righteous, justification. Then we talk about reconciliation. We are now reconciled to God. Then the restoration begins. The restoration work begins. And every time he restores something, it is sanctified. And that's how the transformation takes place, bit by bit. So the justification part of it, the restoration part of it, the sanctification part of it, the transformation part of it. And you see, every bit of glory, a bit of glory, a bit of glory, a bit of glory, it will not come at one shot. Now you take a look at a life and say, well, I've got 100 different things to change. And God will patiently change every bit. 100 times over, he will work on your hearts in your life. But if at the end of the day, you can take a look at the mirror and you can say, you know what? I can see the life of the Lord Jesus. We who live are always being delivered to death for Jesus' sake. And you begin to realize you've caught the spirit of Jesus. You caught the heart of Jesus. You caught the compassion of Jesus. You caught the courage of Jesus. You caught the strength of Jesus. You caught the wisdom of Jesus. You've got a lot of things about the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And there is your transformation process. And it will not come with age. Some people, as you grow older, you'll be okay. No, I've seen a lot of people grow older. They're not okay, they're worse. So it's not a question of you shall will now grow older. No, no, it's not like that. It's far deeper. There is a work of God that changes our life bit by bit, and it gets reflected, as it were, upon our face. And then when we take a look at it, you begin to realize that this is the work of transformation, and it is wonderful. How does that work, really? And we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that this is the work of the Spirit of God. He does this work in our life, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And I think this is a wonderful thing. I still remember when I was, like all young people, older people, you can see the word cranky. Younger people, the operative word was crazy. Right? I mean, we chase kites at the risk of our life. The kite is only 25 cents. We run, chase here, chase there. Never mind, the cars nearly bang you to take that 25 cents kite. Isn't that crazy? What is? If there's not, what is? We did that. I mean, I did that. Maybe not you, I did that. When I was younger, catching spiders was everything. By the way, the spiders I mentioned, you know, in the book of Proverbs. Oh yeah, I caught that and I say, wow, this is, you know, there's certain majesty about spiders. You know what that majesty is? It can go to the king's palace and set up house. Wow. There is your spider story. And I think, so there are many spider stories. One of them is told about Jesus and the spider and the glory of Jesus. Jesus' family running away from the king, Herod. And the soldiers were chasing. And then they went into a cave to hide. And the soldiers would look. They were using the swords. They were cutting everywhere. And they went to the cave. And quickly a spider began to spin. And it spun a beautiful web there. And the soldiers cannot. A web like this would take a few days to spin. We just got our orders. It cannot be inside. So the glory of the spider, a legend of Christmas. And that's, you know, I just wish we can look at all this our life, and I just wanted over the years to grow, to become. I don't think in terms of ministry alone. I wanted all my life wanted to be a lot of things I wanted to do. I wanted an education, so I had an education. You know, wanted to develop a work of the Lord and to develop a ministry like this as we see it. I wanted to become a missionary, wanted to become a writer, wanted to become a poet. A few more things yet to be fulfilled. And don't call it bucket list, by the way. It's a prayer list, not a bucket list. Bucket list is very, very, to me, very dismal and is very, very depressing. And so I don't go for bucket list. You kick the bucket, it's a horrible word. He went to glory, not kick the bucket. So if you died, you know, so-and-so kicked the bucket. How awful can it be? So you don't want to do that. You want to say he was called home to glory or something like that. That sounds nicer, you know. Pastor Charlie was called home to glory. Pastor Charlie kicked the bucket. How rude can you be? That's not a nice thing to do. But you, as you look at the whole idea of transformation, you know, we are more prepared for glory when we see, we can see these things. And there are certain wonderful marks about the Lord Jesus Christ upon our hearts, in our life, upon our minds. And you take a look at this and you begin to say, so this is the life of the Lord Jesus, and we are being transformed from glory to glory. Can this happen? Yes, very much so. But you must be able to be prepared to look at yourself and ask, have you become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Or just simply yourself? So I don't like this phrase very much, be yourself. I don't want to be myself. Just be yourself. I don't want to be myself. I want to be like Christ. Or I want to be myself. I really don't. I just want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. So that at the end of life's day, we can say, you know, he is more Christ-like. 64 years of work, of God in my life. Taking away a lot of things that were not good. Elvis Presley, spiders, craziness, crankiness, bit by bit, taken away, bit by bit. And placing it bit more and more like Christ, having His heart, having His spirit, having His mind, having His compassion, having His love, bit by bit, until you can see, so this is the glory, transform from glory to glory. This is what life should all be, all about, isn't it? So then the older you get, you take a look at a person and we can say, wow, that is what Christ is like. That's what Christ should be like. In our lives. Right? In our lives. Otherwise, how do we know what Christ is like? We don't. If we are then the living epistles of Christ, people reading our lives must be able to say, so this is the life of Jesus. I can see it. It's in you. And we truly glorify the Lord when we are able to reflect the glory of the Lord. Well, think about this. Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father, we just want to thank You for the joy that is in our heart. A joy that You put there when we first came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But Father, we confess that we have not grown much. And we pray very much this morning that we would ask You to do a greater work of glory and of grace in our life, so that with every passing year we will reflect the Lord Jesus Christ and His glory more and more, even as we look at a mirror of our faith and of our life. We ask You to bless this offering that we give to You now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give a love gift for the Lord's work. Let's ask the Lord to bless us before we go from here. And now may this great and wonderful God we call Father touch our hearts, touch our very souls, and enable us to experience the power of transforming grace. And may the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, His beautiful grace and love, become etched upon our very souls till we display that glory of His. And may the Spirit of God work in our hearts mightily, enabling us not just to become older, to become more and more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory now and forever. Amen.